afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PION AG conference call on the financial results of the first 9 months, 2016, hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen and Abdelghany Omari. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to Ralf Penner to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for PION's earnings call on the financial results of the first 9 months of 2016. My name is Ralf Penner. I'm PION's Director of Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I'm joined by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen, PION CEO, as well as Abdelghany Omari, our CFO. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the Q3 achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted to the investor section of our website and were also given in today's quarterly statement. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded and a replay will be available later today and will be posted on our website. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slides. An dieser Stelle noch ein Hinweis für die deutschen Teilnehmer. Als international operierendes Unternehmen halten wir die Präsentation in englischer Sprache. Wir möchten den deutschen Teilnehmern am Ende jedoch die Möglichkeit geben, ihre Fragen in Deutsch zu stellen, die wir dann auch in Deutsch beantworten werden. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should start right on now with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ralf, and hello everybody who is listening in and dialing in on a day where other events seem to overshadow every activity. I've been in Cologne this morning at the BioEurope, and the initial time at the exhibition hall was essentially empty because everyone was standing in front of the CNN news TV to watch what was ongoing in the U.S. But now let's focus on PION. I think most of you are aware that we are on the way to become a specialty pharma company and with a focus on anesthesia. Our lead compound is remimazolam. We already have existing partnerships. The largest one came in this year for the U.S. We are a pretty virtual organization with 38 FTEs, headquarters in Aachen. We have offices also in Cambridge and New Jersey, and we had 36 million cash and cash equivalents at the end of Q3. I spare you the details of the management board and supervisory board. Please have a look at our current share price, and what we see is quite a high volatility over the year due to different events, which are, and our current market cap fluctuates around 150 million euros. And if we go to the next slide showing the events of this year, you see that in the middle of the year, we had two very important events that are reflected in our current situation. Number one, we had very positive data of our phase 3 trial in colonoscopy. And in the same week, we announced a deal with Cosmo Pharmaceuticals for a license of the U.S. territory. Unfortunately, in the same week, we saw the Brexit happening, so that the expected positive resonance in our share price did not happen. Then in October, most recently, we presented the results, the complete results of the study at a very important meeting, ACG, American College of Gastroenterology, where the data were very well received, and we got very positive feedback.
And the same was happening the week after that, where we also attended the ASA, which is the American Society of Anesthesiology, and also anesthesiologists were very positive about the data and the prospects of remimazolam. Most of them asked, when can I have this stuff in my hands? So we had to tell them that this will take a while, that filing earliest is at the end of 2017, but that we do our best to accelerate everything as much as possible. Now I would like to hand over to Abdel to give you an overview about the financials. Thank you very much, Abdel.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to guide you through the financial key figures for the first 9 months of 2016, compared with the prior year period, and also give an outlook for the full year 2016. Let me start with the P&L. Revenues amounted to 2.2 million euros and mainly resulted from the upfront payment from Cosmo in relation to the U.S. license agreement that we concluded in June this year. On the upper right-hand side, you can see that research and development expenses decreased from 20.9 million euros in the first 9 months of 2015 to 16.4 million euros in the first 9 months of this year. This is mainly due to the progress of the Phase 1 studies of our U.S. development program. Expenses for Phase 3 development are comparable to the prior year period because higher costs for the U.S. Phase 3 program were offset by lower costs for the EU program in general anesthesia. Now let's take a look at general administrative and selling expenses on the lower left-hand side. Compared to the first 9 months of 2015, these decreased by 0.3 million euros to 4.2 million euros. Selling expenses decreased by 0.8 million euros, mainly because we conducted less market research, pre-marketing and market access activities than in the prior year period. General admin expenses increased by 0.5 million euros, mainly caused by the preparation of potential capital measures that were ultimately not conducted in light of the agreements that we entered into with Cosmo. In total, a net loss of 16.1 million euros was incurred compared to a net loss of 20.4 million euros in the prior year period. The net loss includes income from tax credits on part of the research and development expenses in the amount of 3.4 million euros. Now I would like to move to the selected balance sheet items and an overview of the headcount on the next slide. The total assets decreased by 1.1 million euros compared to the end of 2015. As you can see on the upper right-hand side, cash and cash equivalents increased by 3.2 million euros compared to end of 2015. This primarily results from negative cash flows from operating activities in the amount of 5.8 million euros on the one hand, and positive cash flows from financing activities in the amount of 9.2 million euros on the other hand. As you can see on the lower left-hand side, equity decreased by 6.7 million euros to 28.9 million euros. This is mainly due to the net loss of 16.1 million euros and the net proceeds from the capital increase with Cosmo in the amount of 9.2 million euros. The equity ratio was 68.2%. The staff development is illustrated on the lower right-hand side. Compared to an average number of 29 employees in 2015, we increased staff to 38 employees on average in the first 9 months of this year. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for full year 2016. For the purpose of comparison, you can see the actual figures for financial year 2015 in the left column. For the rest of this year, our major goals are the continuation of the ongoing Phase 3 development program with remimazolam in the U.S. and the implementation of the cooperation with Cosmo. Also, we continue to work on the production development, in particular the validation of the production at market scale and on the preparation of filing for market approval in the U.S. Based on the license agreement with Cosmo, we expect revenues of approximately 4 million euros in 2016, which is the portion of the 10 million upfront payment received from Cosmo that will be recognized as revenues in 2016. Due to the ongoing concentration on the development with remimazolam, we continue to incur significant R&D expenses which we estimate to be in a range of about 24 to 27 million euros. SG&A costs will amount to about 5.5 million euros due to lower selling but higher general admin expenses. Based on the estimate for the R&D expenses, we expect tax income from UK tax credit in the amount of approximately 4 to 4.5 million euros. In total, we expect a decreased net loss in the amount of 21.5 to 24 million euros. Regarding our liquidity, with cash of 35.9 million euros at the end of September 2016, we have sufficient funds to complete the U.S. Phase 3 program in procedural sedation under current planning. Should development, filing, and approval go according to plan, we will not need additional funding to bring remimazolam to the U.S. market. For Europe, we are currently evaluating how to resume clinical development. For such a development or for own filing activities in Japan, additional funding would be needed. The amount can only be specified after finalization of the ongoing evaluation. Thank you so far. Now I hand back to you, Wolfgang.
Thank you very much, Abdel. Just a brief look on our pipeline overview. As you are aware, knowing PION, you know that GGF2 and M6G are no essential value drivers. So let's focus on remimazolam, which has potential in three different indications with a significant peak sales potential worldwide. We have advanced mostly in Japan with a completed phase 3 program and in procedural sedation in the U.S. with a completed first pivotal trial reported this year. We expect the next one to report next year. And in ICU sedation, we have a phase 2 trial, which gives us already important indications on how this indication could be developed further in the future. Now, let me briefly, for those who are not familiar with sedation and anesthesia, touch upon where we are and where we position ourselves and where we are in comparison to midazolam and propofol. What you see here is that sedation covers a broad range, and it goes from minimal sedation, which, for example, is used preoperatively when you get a kind of sleeping pill to relax you before you get in the OR. Moderate sedation is that is the target for interventions like colonoscopy, where the patient should be able to follow commands in order to support the physician performing the procedure. And then sometimes deeper sedation is required, which is then frequently performed by an anesthesiologist. And the same is true for general anesthesia, where definitely patients require support of their ventilation capacity. The existing gold standards are midazolam on the one hand and propofol on the other hand, while midazolam is more on the light sedation and anxiolysis scale. Propofol is more on the general anesthesia and deep sedation analgesia part, and we claim that the potential for remimazolam spans over the whole spectrum of sedation, covering a wide range of interventions. Where does remimazolam come from? Essentially, it is the result of a very long search for ideal IV anesthetic sedatives. After GSK was successful in improving opioid treatment from fentanyl to remifentanyl, they applied a similar technology and tech and development strategy to improve benzodiazepines, and the result of this is remimazolam, with the aim to create essentially a combination of ultra-short acting opioids and sedation agents in order to optimize general anesthesia treatment and ICU sedation as well as sedation. How was this accomplished? That's on the next slide. Essentially, the remimazolam is built on a scaffold of benzodiazepine with an added ester group. If this ester group is cleaved away by carboxyl esterases, then what's left is an inactive metabolite.
And so some people call drugs like remimazolam soft drugs because they're not very stable once they have been applied to the human body. And this the result of this is a fast onset and fast offset. So as I said before, Remi is a member of the benzodiazepine family, metabolized by tissue esterases. It is the first ultra-short-acting IV benzodiazepine agent, and very importantly, it can be reversed with flumazenil in case of oversedation. What we have seen so far is that we saw good efficacy and safety in the studied patient populations, confirming repeatedly the rapid onset and offset of the drug, and also leading to appropriate depth of sedation to perform the intervention. Very important is the overall very good hemodynamic stability, which we have not only seen in general anesthesia, but also in our current trial in colonoscopy. In procedural sedation, essentially the standard of care is midazolam and propofol, and we have decided to compare ourselves against midazolam because our target label should be comparable to that of midazolam. And in general anesthesia, the standards of care is propofol in combination with volatile gases, and this has been studied in Japan as well as in Europe. Unfortunately, we had to stop our phase 3 trial in Europe due to recruitment issues. So where do we stand in the overall program? On the next slide, you see the summary, the very high-level summary of the trials that have been performed so far. In essence, we have treated more than 1,000 patients, and by the time of application to the FDA, there will be more than 1,500 patients on drug, which is the number that is required for a filing, because only based on a database of this number, you can give a reasonably assessment of the safety of the drug in order to accommodate the variation in how patients can react to a drug. So if we now take a look on what is the specific of the anesthesia market, I think the most important message here is that it is a genericized market. And because it's genericized, there's no active global player in this space. However, there are a lot of local players, local national champions who are leading this area, and this was part of our strategy in partnering early. This is why we selected the partners, for example, in China, South Korea, Canada, and now also finally in the U.S., and also in Russia and Turkey. So it is a truly global market, but because it's genericized, there's not a lot of development activities, and Pion is one of the few companies that actually heavily invests in R&D. Of course, there's a price sensitivity, not only when you're entering a generic market. This is a common theme across the globe, that healthcare systems try to reduce drug prices, even if they contribute to overall better outcome in patients. The anesthesiology community essentially had given up on advances in medical treatment because there had been no new developments. Therefore, we find a lot of interest amongst the anesthesiology community as well also with the proceduralist. The highest level of anesthesia is probably required when you talk about ICU sedation. Presidex has shown in the U.S. that one can be very successful with a reasonable price in a completely genericized market, and this is what we aim for as well and our partners that we work with. Now let's have a closer look at the two major indications that we are working on currently. So the aim in the procedural sedation scenario is to create an option for proceduralists to treat more patients in the same period of time which is very important because, for example, colonoscopy screening has still not reached the wanted level in the U.S., so it's varying between 40 and 60% of eligible patients. So if you can offer a means to treat more patients in the same period of time, we can contribute to improve the care or prevention of colon cancer. Then I've talked about the safety feature of remimazolam, which is the availability of a reversal agent, which is displayed on the right graph, where essentially you can see that if remimazolam is given at a dose that leads to loss of consciousness, that if you apply the reversal agent, this is the red arrow, after 3 minutes, patients are fully awake without resedation after 2 minutes. And if you don't do that, it takes about, you know, some 7-8 more minutes until patients wake up. And this is a period where drugs that have a respiratory depressive activity like propofol can be lead to significant dangerous situations. On the next slide, you see what is our value proposition for the anesthesia situation. Anesthesia induction and maintenance frequently leads to significant hypotension, and we could show in the ONO trials that with remimazolam, there's a significant reduction in the event and time occurring of hypotension, which is becoming more and more important because if you think of elderly patients, if they have significant drop in blood pressure, that may lead to insufficient perfusion of the brain. And so this is how we want to position remimazolam in the anesthesia space, and also another target could be to avoid too deep sedation. Now let me briefly touch upon the deal that we closed with Cosmo Pharmaceuticals in June. We received $10 million upfront payment in July, not in June. Cosmo did a private placement leading to gross proceeds of $9.6 million, so there's another $400,000 equity that is still open. We are entitled to additional total milestones of $42.5 million, and we have significant double-digit tiered royalties ranging from 20 to 25%. Cosmo is responsible to bear all future costs related to market authorization, as well as sales and distribution, and future developments like EG performing a general anesthesia trial in the U.S., or starting an ICU sedation program in the U.S. PION is responsible and will bear all the costs to finish the agreed program that we have discussed with the FDA, and then we hand over to Cosmo to filing. Let me repeat why procedural sedation is such an interesting market opportunity, and why we started with this indication in the U.S. Number one, you're dealing with essentially healthy patients because more than 90% of colonoscopies are performed in essentially healthy patients. So the risk of severe side effects was low in that part, and this is why we started with that indication. The ideal model for this is colonoscopy, which, as I said, is a big opportunity in the U.S. because there are more than 20 million colonoscopies being performed per year in the U.S., and most of them in outpatient clinics. There is a push to even to improve colon cancer screening because, as I said before, today there's only, depending on the insurers, a rate of 60% of eligible patients who undergo this screening. How is this market divided in the U.S.? Most of the procedures are done in outpatient clinics, and this is the segment where we have built upon our business case. If you look at the broader space, you see that a total of more than 40 million procedures are performed in. Colonoscopy is the biggest segment of this, and this is why we focus on this initially as a kind of role indication. If you now look at the two drugs that are regarded to be gold standard, midazolam, on the one hand, is mostly used in the West and Midwest, and propofol is mostly used in Northeast and Eastern U.S., and there are different rationales for this. In on the East Coast, or let's say providers that are using propofol, want to increase the numbers that they can screen in any given time period. Those who are using midazolam want to avoid the costs that are associated with providing propofol. And this is exactly how we want to position ourselves. We want to have a label like midazolam, but offer the opportunity to screen more patients in any given time period. What is going to happen with the reimbursement? Now with the new president, we don't know how Obamacare is which way this is going, but it is quite clear that there are forces in the U.S. market that target bundling. That means that for any given intervention, there will be a fixed price, and the insurers will leave it to the market to decide how best a GI doc manages with that given budget. If he wants to use the assistance of an anesthesiologist, which will add extra cost, or whether he wants to perform this with midazolam or midazolam-like drug that does not require this. We have based our assumptions on the results of the phase 2B, which is displayed on slide 28. I don't want to go through this in detail because I think it's much more important to focus on the very positive results of the phase 3. So on slide 49, you see the overview of the trial. This was 461 patients which were recruited in 13 sites in the U.S. All patients received fentanyl to start with. Just as a brief reminder, sedation and anesthesia is always a combination of taking care of sleep. This is the part that propofol and remimazolam cover and midazolam. But on the other hand, you need to treat patients for the pain part of the procedure, and therefore they all get fentanyl if there is a painful procedure. There are also procedures which are done without fentanyl, but for example, in general anesthesia, you also have a combination of an opioid and the agent that leads to sleep. So in the trial, we had three different treatment groups. The one group was remimazolam, and this was double-blind, performed against placebo. All these patients that were treated with placebo in the end received what is called so-called rescue medication in case they weren't adequately sedated to start the procedure. And because we are targeting to get a midazolam-like label, we wanted to have an open-label midazolam in order to have at least a minimal reference point towards safety and efficacy of midazolam. On slide 30, you see the results with the 91% successful procedures for remimazolam, 1.7% success for placebo, and 25% for midazolam. The success was essentially defined as being able to perform the colonoscopy, no requirement for rescue, and also not exceeding a limitation of top-ups within a certain time frame. What we see, and I addressed the pain part before, we see that with remimazolam, there is significant lower need to treat patients for their pain because probably they are deeper sedated, and specifically at the painful part of the procedure, which is at the start, at the end of a colonoscopy, essentially when the scope is on its way back, this is less painful. But here we see an important difference between remi and midazolam and the placebo group. Then if we talk about the pharmacoeconomic argument, you see that the start to procedure time is significantly shorter for remimazolam. It's a difference of approximately 15 minutes across the board, and then on the next slide, the end of the procedure to be fully alert is another 5 minutes gain. So that means that the time where the patient needs to be supervised is significantly shorter than the time where a patient needs to be supervised with midazolam, and this is the expensive part of the procedure, and this is what physicians are looking for, to reduce this time of observations of patients for safety reasons to around 20 minutes. And what you also see is that the patient feels a significant difference. It is more than 200 minutes shorter compared to midazolam and placebo for remimazolam patient. This is the equivalent of a Champions League game with overtime, or 3 innings in baseball, or maybe 9 holes of golf in the afternoon of a day where you had a procedure. So I think this is quality of life, and part of the assessment of a drug is not only the efficacy and safety, but it's also what does it bring for the patient. And this is also reflected in the next slide, which is called Hopkins Verbal Learning Test. Essentially, what you test with this test is how quickly patients come back to their normal, let's say, attention or ability to recall something. And you see that with remimazolam, there's an important difference to placebo and midazolam already at 5 minutes after patients are back to normal. And finally, when it comes to the overall safety, we see that there's a significant reduction in overall adverse events reported by the physicians. On the next slide, you see the summary of the gains in time from start of procedure to fully alert, which I already have explained. And usually people say, great stuff, Wolfgang, and what's next? First of all, we need to complete the bronchoscopy trial, which we expect to be able in the second quarter of 2017. We also expect an ongoing trial in ASA 3-4 patients by the end of 2016. And then the handover to Cosmo for filing. And this is something that we are in active discussions with Cosmo, how to maximize and shorten the time for this handover so that Cosmo is able to file as soon as possible after the last patient has been treated. Now, a brief reflection on the situation in Europe. Propofol is the most used drug in Europe, and also what's called TIVA, that means you only give, let's say, propofol and you're not using gas, is more used in Europe than in the US. Balanced anesthesia is a combination of propofol and a gas, and this was how we had performed the phase 2 trial in cardiac surgery patients. The discussions that we had with the EMA led to a design where we had to compare against TIVA, and this trial program led to recruitment problems, and this is why we had to stop the trial. So we were not performing this as majority of cardiac surgery is being performed, and therefore we faced a lot of resistance by the physicians. However, we are now reconsidering re-engage in the European development. We are assessing our options, and probably the way will be that we essentially make a copy of the owner development plan, which was not in a special population like cardiac surgery, but in a population where a variety of different surgery types like hip operations, abdominal surgery, head and neck surgery were performed. But this is all subject to a discussion also with the regulatory agencies, because this time we want to have a trial that can be also executed in a reasonable time frame. Finally, what's the status in Asia and Japan? Again, propofol is the dominant drug in the general anesthesia market in Japan. Midazolam is a dominant procedure for procedures. that's a different picture than in the U.S. So there's more midazolam use for procedures. Actually, what we are hearing is that more and more procedures are done with sedation in Japan. When we started the development, there was a different message. Essentially, it was said that Japanese patients tolerate colonoscopies and other interventions without any sedation and without any pain drugs. But there's a significant change. So also the market opportunity for procedural sedation in Japan may be higher than we had previously anticipated. Unfortunately, Ono returned the license at the end of, or they announced it at the end of 2014, and the handover was completed in the middle of 2015. Since then, we have been very active. Specifically, we had interactions with the Japanese authorities who confirmed that, number one, we can use the product that we have developed for Europe, also for Japan, and also that essentially the clinical and non-clinical data package is complete enough for filing for the indication of general anesthesia in Japan. We have been asked about this repeatedly. It is difficult to give a timeline when a Japanese partner will make a decision. I can only remember everyone of how long it took to get a partner for the U.S. We finally found a very good partner. This takes persistence. This takes patience. And we are also, of course, evaluating whether filing by ourselves makes sense, but the decision has not been made. So let me summarize. We are currently, the highest focus within the whole company is to complete the phase three program for the U.S. because this is the highest value market. We have to deliver to Cosmo a dossier that they can file with the FDA. In Japan, we assess our options, but we are also continuing partnering discussions diligently. And in Europe, we are currently evaluating how to best perform a new trial in general anesthesia. And I also must say that our already existing partners are doing some homework, and we have recently announced that Yichang is moving ahead with their own clinical development path. Lastly, I would like to remind you of how much of the globe we already have covered with the licensed partners. But there's still a lot of gray on this globe, so there's still a lot of work to do. We're working on this, and I can tell you at the BioEurope meeting with the phase three data, I noticed an increased attention also of potential partners. But don't think that this is something for tomorrow. It will take time and effort to select the best possible partner for each individual region. And I look forward to come up with good news over the rest of the year. And I would now like to hand back to Ralf.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Abdel, for your presentation. We would like to start now with the Q&A session, starting with questions in English language und im Anschluss daran dann, falls notwendig, noch in deutscher Sprache.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask a question. So the first question comes from the line of Igor Kim from Otto Seidler Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone. I've got a couple of questions. The first one regarding Europe. Could you probably say when you approximately plan to make a decision regarding first development strategy in Europe? And second question regarding U.S. If the bronchoscopy trial will be finished in the second quarter of the next year, should we expect that the filing for approval will be in the second half of the next year? And is there any milestone payment attached to the filing for approval that you might receive from COSMO? Thank you.
First of all, with Europe, we will have to take our time to assess what's the best development strategy, and I guess we will be able to give a clear answer on this, let's say, at the end of Q1 early next year, because it really involves a lot of discussions with clinicians, what's the best design. And it takes a long time to get a scientific advice. So that is not something where I take up my phone and call the EMA and say, are you okay with this study design? That's a process that takes several months until we have a final go. So I would say at the end of the first quarter next year would be a reasonable time frame for that. The second thing, the bronchoscopy trial, yes, we remain our guidance that we expect this study to be completed by the end of the second quarter next year. And then how soon filing will be possible will depend a lot on how much capacity, for example, COSMO has at this moment in time. It's a question of last patient in the last study to integrate into a dossier. So that's something that right now needs to be finally discussed with COSMO. But you can assume that both COSMO and PION have a very high interest to file as soon as at all practically possible. I'm sorry that I cannot give you guidance on a milestone payment at filing. All we have said in the past is that the deal has a typical structure, though, so that normally consists of some regulatory milestones, but we're not in a position to disclose that as that's the agreement between COSMO and PION.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Simon Scholes from First Berlin. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks very much for a very informative presentation. You mentioned earlier on in the presentation that you'd experienced a good degree of enthusiasm from anesthesiologists for remimazolam. You also mentioned in the press release that following the conference where the presentation was given by Professor Rex, you experienced a lot of positive resonance beyond the conference. I was just wondering if you could enlarge on that.
I mean, number one, we got a lot of unsolicited calls from people who said congratulations to this very impressive result. Dr. Rex was interviewed from several agencies after the end of his presentations, and that is reflected in how the news was spread. And as I said before, there was always a fear that anesthesiologists may not like what we are doing in procedural sedation. But actually, I must say that the feedback at the conference, which was then a week later in Chicago, was that anesthesiologists congratulated us on this great result and that they see this as a very valuable alternative for conscious sedation and procedural sedation, and they want to play with this drug. So that's the feedback, that they see this as a very attractive alternative to the existing options.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mick Cooper from Trinity Delta. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Following on from the last question, was there any interest from anesthesiologists to look at use REMI in other procedures beyond procedural sedation? And linked in with that, given the very positive results from the first phase three, are there any plans for expanding the U.S. Development program, or is that totally down to COSMO? And if you did, or if the trial plan was expanded, would COSMO pay for any further development?
Let me start to answer the last part of the question first, because as I said in the beginning, I hope I made it clear that all future development beyond the current plan that we have agreed with the FDA, this development cost will be borne by Cosmo. So let's say if someone wants to use procedural sedation with a continuous infusion, which in some rare indications may make sense, that would be on behalf of Cosmo. Or if we start a program in general anesthesia in the U.S., this would be on behalf of Cosmo. And if we would start a program in ICU sedation, that would be, these costs would have to be borne by Cosmo. Do you want me to mention specified interventions like endoscopies of the pancreas, which is very painful, which is done under radiography control? There you may want to do an infusion, but you can also do this with the current regime that we are exploring. You can think of MRI scans where people need to be, if you have a patient that's very unrestful, so if you want to calm down that patient, then you may provide him sedation. This is very important for children because they are usually very restless when they get into this kind of machines. And that in itself is a completely additional development that, again, will be borne by Cosmo. So the pediatric plan will have to be executed by Cosmo. And this is an obligation these days that once you have approval for your primary indication in grown-ups, you must execute on a pediatric plan. And the content of that plan has already been agreed between PION and the FDA. But to work this out and to execute this plan is completely on behalf of Cosmo.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nun auf Deutsch. Sie haben jetzt die Möglichkeit, Ihre Fragen zu stellen. Bitte drücken Sie hierzu die Tastenkombination Sternchen 1 auf Ihrer Telefontastatur. Möchten Sie Ihre Frage wieder zurückziehen, drücken Sie bitte erneut die Tastenkombination 1. Zur Erinnerung, falls Sie eine Frage stellen möchten, drücken Sie bitte die Tastenkombination Sternchen 1 auf Ihrer Telefontastatur. Wir haben keine weiteren Fragen in Deutsch und somit übergebe ich das Wort zurück an Herrn Penner. So there are no further questions, so I will hand you back to Ralph Penner for any concluding remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for all your questions and for joining us for PION's earnings call on the financial results of the first 9 months of 2016. I hope that we have been able to answer your questions, but of course, please feel free to give me a call afterwards if you would like to further discuss. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit our webpage where the replay will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye and thank you very much for your continued interest in PION.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.